All right. Hello there. I would like to welcome everybody to the conference call here on behalf of Cascade Bancorp. We do have somebody who's got us on a little bit of hold music here. And for that reason, I'm going to mute all the lines. And now that I have now muted all the lines, you folks will be presented here with Andrew Gerlicher. He is the corporate secretary for Cascade Bancorp, and you're off and running now, Andrew. Please take it away.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. With me in the room here are Terry Zink, the CEO of Cascade Bancorp, Greg Newton, the chief financial officer of Cascade Bancorp, and Len Williams, the CEO of Home Federal Bancorp. Our presentation today discusses Cascade's proposed acquisition of Home Federal Bancorp and will include forward-looking statements. Those statements include descriptions of management's plans, objectives, or goals for future operations, products or services, forecasts of financial or other performance measures, and statements about Cascade's general outlook for economic and other conditions. Statements about the expected timing, completion, and effects of the proposed merger constitute forward-looking statements. We also may make other forward-looking statements in the question and answer period following management's discussion. These forward-looking statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially from those discussed today. Information on the risk factors that could cause actual results to differ are contained in the press release that was released yesterday, as well as a Form 8K filing of the investor presentation, which will be reviewed during today's conference call, and a recently filed Form 10-Q for the quarter ended June 30, 2013. Forward-looking statements are effective only as of the date they are made, and Cascade assumes no obligation to update information concerning its expectations. So thank you, and now I'll turn the proceedings over to Terry Zink, CEO, Cascade Bancorp. Terry?
Thank you, Andy. Welcome, everybody. I'm actually excited to do this with our first investor call in quite a while, and so it's good to be back talking about something that I find to be very positive. I'm not going to go through each one of these slides directly, but I am going to address certain issues in it, and there'll be time at the end for Q&A, so we can clear up anything that you may want. But the first slide that you have in your deck basically shows you the Cascade footprint and a little bit of our history, and most of you probably are pretty aware of what that history has been. What I really want to focus on today is the deal that was recently announced between Cascade and Home. One of the things that I find about this transaction that gets me really excited is the fact that this is a transformational combination for both companies. One of the things that's going to happen from this is that we are going to, and the combined company is going to be, we're going to double our deposit market share in Boise and in Southern Oregon. For Cascade, it allows us to enter a market we've actually coveted for quite a while, which is the Eugene market. The other thing that I think is important to note about this transaction is that on the retail branch side of stuff, there's about a two-thirds branch overlap. That's going to allow both companies to unlock some significant efficiency improvements. I think one of the things that you can see when you look at this deal is one that truly makes sense because it allows both companies to be stronger combined than they would ever have been able to be independent of each other. And the fact that we have complementary business models also benefits the customers, me, and the employees. And so I'm excited about that. I know that, that Len Williams, who's here with me today, from home. Len, I think you feel probably the same way, but if you could talk a little bit about what your thoughts are about the transaction.
Sure. Thank you, Terry. It's a pleasure to be with you on the call today. You know, I think anybody that looks at the two organizations can see the natural combination that makes. This unlocks tremendous earnings power for the organization. I think it sets the stage for a combined organization with a very powerful number one position in some key markets to drive forward. Terry just mentioned the overlap issues, and it'll take time. We'll get that figured out and build the best organization we can. Both have like cultures. We're in like markets. We're doing the same thing, the same place at the same time. The combination just makes natural sense. And I think the opportunity that came up through us announcing our prior deal piqued some interest, and they were able to put something together very quickly that made sense to our shareholders. So we'll be presenting this to them as well.
Great. Thanks, Lynn. Yeah, I think what Lynn talked about was there was an opportunity to come forward in Home, and it is a bank that we've looked at for quite a while. We like the fact that the footprints are very similar. The way that they do business is very similar to the way that we do business, and the combination of the two makes a lot of sense. The transaction overview really, essentially this was a $265 million transaction. The transaction comes out to about $17.83 per diluted share. We are going to be using 55% stock and 45% cash to close that. The ongoing ownership of the company is really kind of a two-thirds Cascade, one-third Home. One of the things that we offered Home was that they could pick up to four board seats on our Cascade board, which is exciting to get the combination of management from both companies put together. We're looking right now at a close date. We're targeting a close date anyway of March 31st, 2014. We think that we will be able to get through everything in that period of time. We're going to be smart about how we consolidate the company. We're going to make sure that we do it in a very thoughtful and methodical way and get as much cost savings out as we can, but also not handicap the company going forward. So we feel very, very strongly about our ability to integrate this, and it's like I had said earlier, it's a transaction that we have looked at for a little while. The next slide really talks about Cascade or Home's footprint and what they look like. Again, as it was with us, I think you guys are pretty familiar with that. But let me draw your attention to page 7. That's really where everything seems to come into focus for us. You can see the combined company. You see where the overlap occurs. And you can also get an idea of it's not just a cost play, but it's also revenue strategy. We are going to be able to combine these companies. We will have cost synergies that will be will manifest themselves, but also an enormous opportunity on the revenue side. If you look at Central Oregon, the combined company now becomes the number one ranked community bank in Central Oregon. In Boise, which is, as you'll hear time and time again, Boise is a great market, a lot of growth opportunity, and we now are the fifth largest bank in Boise, and we are the largest community bank in Boise. And so from our standpoint, we feel like that's going to give us a tremendous advantage in the marketplace. One of the things that I believe very strongly in is community banking. I think that it's a alternative for the so-called too big to fail. And so as a result, in the markets where we really have dominant market share, we're going to be able to bring community banking and have it alive and well in those markets. In Southern Oregon, we're going to double our size also. The other thing that's exciting is the entry into the Eugene market. Cascade has not been in the Eugene market. Some of you may have noticed that we did a small acquisition of some branches from America West recently. One of those branches was in Klamath Falls, so we made an entry. So we closed on that transaction, and conversion happened last weekend. And that branch is now up and running as a Cascade branch, and we're excited to be in Klamath Falls. The Eugene market is just one more area where we go into markets where we believe community banking is going to make a difference and allow us to be a player there. So we're genuinely excited about the go-forward combination. As I've said before, you know, we will be the fourth largest community bank in the Pacific Northwest. When you exclude the really large banks, the $10 billion and over type of banks, you can see what it does to our market share in Boise. Really, everybody who's ahead of us in Boise is a very large bank. We are really the community bank
in that market. You can see where we line up in Oregon, and so the fact that our business models are comparable, the fact that we are going to be a community bank in these markets, and can bring some of the strength of both companies to bear. As you may know, we're a Cascade is a very solid mortgage lender and small business bank, and so we're going to be able to bring that into Holmes area. Holmes has done very well in the commercial banking space and has done some recent activity in the construction lending area, which we feel is an interesting market for us to continue to look at. So what I'd like to do now is turn the meeting over to Greg Newton, the CFO for Cascade, and he can run through the number side of the equation for everybody. Greg?
Thanks, Terry. Good morning, all. In addition, I think Terry just showed you the scale and market share we will enjoy in these overlapping markets. But I think the other story is that the quality of those deposits are just in represent an enviable core deposit franchise. If you look at the bottom row of pie charts, you can see at Cascade on the left, $1 billion of deposits, 37% of which are non-interest bearing. But if you combine those with our low-cost interest checking, it's over 50% checking accounts. Home has done a great job, similarly, converting from what was a thrift to a much more bank-like deposit portfolio with almost 19% non-interest-bearing, but actually my calculation was about 48% checking dollars. So you combine those on the right, and you have about a 25 basis point cost of deposits starting run rate. Some of the legacy run CD runoffs are in the next short horizon, so we look for that cost of funds on our deposit side to improve over time. On page 10, I think I'd end up just reiterating, you know, the overlap of our footprints really makes this a remarkable logic strategic combination. We get to both right size distribution and leverage our infrastructure. The result is going to be a strong growth and earnings story at Cascade. So if we look at the pricing metrics, then they reflect that attitude. We believe it to be a very fair price for Home. We're sharing the synergies and the benefits of that combination. And as we move to that second panel, we also believe we're going to generate very attractive returns to our combined shareholder group. Very strong earnings accretion, very strong IRR, and what we believe is an acceptable earn back of our tangible book value dilution, which, as Terry has kind of mentioned, we believe will is likely to accelerate due to non-quantified synergies that we think we'll be able to harvest. We'll talk about the synergies shortly, but I would highlight that fourth button, the bullet point on that, the implied value, an illustrative way of thinking about simply the per share value of our cost savings turns out to be over around $2.66 a share. And I'll show you how we look at that a little later, but that's very meaningful. Quickly on the fair value marks and the like, these are clearly subject to change as we move toward closing, but we've given you these estimates to help those that appreciate modeling these things. Basically about a $12.8 million gross loan mark or 3.2% of the total. Core deposit tangible at 1% or $7.6 million, and a securities mark of negative $4.9 million. I'll leave the, we provided the preliminary pro forma for your review, but I would highlight a couple of those items on the right. It demonstrates that scale, basically increasing the combined company by 80% in assets, putting us on the map or back on the map. As many of you know, Cascade before the downturn was a $2.4 to $2.6 billion bank, and we're really pleased that this enables us to recapture some of that leverage and benefit. Our capital ratios and reserves will remain strong, and I'd point out 100% of our capital is common in the combination. Note that we have about a 68% loan-to-deposit ratio between us. Obviously, our ambition would be that we'll trade out some of those securities for a more robust loan growth trajectory. And finally, the bottom bullet on that group, kind of a hidden gem in the deal, is we have significant deferred tax assets. And because of regulatory accounting, the enhanced profitability of the organization will literally enable us to accelerate the inclusion of that DTA into our regulatory capital. We think that's a hidden strength that's worth noting. Slide 13 provides an overview of our cost savings, and I'll leave to your reading the items listed there, because I think we've talked through those before due to the overlap and the like. But if you concentrate on the box on that page, this is really how we're thinking about how to value the synergies that are significant. Again, it's about 24% of the combined company. We're looking at combined efficiencies in our perspective. We tax effect that, apply a conservative multiple, divide the result by the resulting shares outstanding, and we believe there's a very meaningful benefit to the shareholders with respect to that these cost synergies all by themselves. I also would highlight, and I know Terry has a little bit at the bottom of that table, there are some great revenue synergies. I'd remind everybody they're not included. They can range from expansion of mortgage selling opportunities, optimization by translating or transferring securities into earning loans, the CDs that are going to roll off and create us other opportunities. So we are really excited from a financial point of view of turning this combined cascade being an earnings and growth story from here on out. So with that, Terry, turn it back to you to talk a little about the integration.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's nice with this combination is Home and Cascade know each other well. We have a lot of joint customers, and we have a lot of shared understanding of the marketplace. And so I think it does cut down the risk on integration. One of the things that's nice here is that Cascade is a known entity in all the markets that we're going into, and so it's going to be I wouldn't say an easy process. I know Len and I feel like we've got a lot of work ahead of ourselves to get this thing across the finish line, but we believe that we have a really good group of employees. There's a lot of opportunity for us to. So one of the things I would tell you that I feel strongly about is both in with Home and with Cascade, the last 4 or 5 years in banking has been a long and winding road, there's been some ups and downs, and on both sides there was pressure about how to do stuff. And I think when I look at the teams at both organizations, and the fact that they were able to plow through it, they were able to get things done, gives me a lot of comfort as I look forward to the integration. I think that we have a great group of people on both sides of the transaction, and my sense is that as we go forward, we're going to become a much stronger team than we were individually. Again, Len and I have talked a lot about the cultures of the organization. We believe that they are very, very similar in nature, and that we will have little problem in integrating that way. A lot of times in transactions like this, there's a significant difference in the organizations. Here, that's not the case. And one of the strongest things that I can bring out in this is the value that this transaction unlocks for the organizations. Greg touched a little bit on the DTA. We have about $46 million of non-regulatory capital in that DTA that will be recognized that much faster because of the combination. We have the ability to take a bank in Cascade that was, as Greg said, at one time we were a $2.5 billion bank. Our infrastructure is built for $2.5 billion. And now that we are back to being a $2.5 billion bank, efficiencies are going to be in line and probably surpass our peer group. So I'm very excited about that. I think that's what makes this deal so transformational for the organization. As we look forward to the next steps, I think that we are going to be working very diligently putting the banks together. We're already starting to talk about integration teams and the setup for that. I think it's helpful that both of us know each other so well. A lot of our employees know each other really well. They hang out together, and it's going to be a chance for them to work very hard to put the companies together. This is a transaction that I think makes sense all the way across the board. I think there's very little disagreement anywhere that the transaction makes sense and that it gives an opportunity for the organizations to come out in much better shape than they would have otherwise. So with that, what I'd like to do is open it up for any questions that anybody may have. And again, in the room here with me, I have Len Williams from Home. I have Greg Newton, the CFO of Cascade, and myself, Terry Zink. And we'd be glad to answer any questions you may have.
All right, thank you very much there, Terry. So at this time, what I'm going to do is open this up to a question and answer session. When we turn this on to Q&A, you will hear question and answer session started, and your instructions will be to press star and the number 6 and follow the prompts that come along with this. So at this time,
Q&A session started.
Please press star and the number 6 and follow the prompts if you have any questions, and they will be answered in the order they are received. Keep in mind, please, to announce your name and organization as you have a question.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, it's Sachin Shah from Albert Fried. Good morning. Congratulations on the deal. I just wanted to kind of circle back on the merger consideration. It's kind of a moving target from what I understand. So if you can just maybe just further explain, the 1783 as well as, the cash consideration of 120.8 and how that could, be revised going forward.
So a lot of the detail, as you might be aware, is out there on the 8K, so we won't go into too much detail, but essentially we wanted a fixed rate of exchange establishing the value. That's that 2.99 times, and I think it was 2 days ago when we locked it down, that converted to the $17.83 a share, out of which the $120 million of cash consideration would be deducted and the balance paid in stock.
Okay. And the presentation talks about, and the merger agreement as well, some kind of triggers for termination or walkaways. Can you just maybe go over that? So if the stock trades below, I think 20 days or 30 days before the deal announcement, is it under 425 that it could trigger that?
It's actually under 4.
Under 4, I'm sorry, under 4.
Double trigger, under 4. So an index has to be penetrated that's based on our peer banks, and we have to be trading in that range. And if we fall below 4, there's a walkaway provision for Home, or we can fill the difference.
Okay.
So there's some protection for them on the downside, but they they are going to benefit along with Cascade shareholders on any upside move of our stock.
Okay, fair enough. And just one last question on this dividend. Home is allowed to pay the 6 cents quarterly dividend, but is that going to be reflective of the equity floor? How is that going to be determined going forward if that dividend gets paid or not?
Well, their board will deliberate with respect to all these items and will communicate with Cascade as to their decision, and we expect it would move forward in an ordinary course of business way.
Okay. All right. And the equity floor is 168.1 as we speak, right? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. This is Phil Nugent from First New York. My question is, what is the diluted share number that's going to be used for the consideration? Can you give us a range in terms of, I guess, what your expectation is and kind of how that's calculated?
So about 71.8 million in diluted shares, and basically that'll obviously move around a bit toward closing, but.
And this is this for home shareholders?
No.
Could we get the number for home?
Their diluted shares, I know what that is, 14.5 million per our calculation at this time.
Okay. And any anticipation in terms of what the diluted number could be near closing?
We don't have an estimate of at that point. We haven't assumed anything yet.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Hi, this is David Nogueras calling from Oregon Public Broadcasting. I'm a reporter. Apologies in advance to analysts on the line. My question, I'm sorry if this has already been answered, but what will the new merged bank be called in terms of branding? Is there going to be any kind of name change? And then the second question is, in markets where there is this overlap, which you talked about before, will you be closing branches? And if so, how will that affect employees?
Yeah, the ongoing name would be Bank of the Cascade Bank Corp. And as far as in markets where we have overlap, I don't know that we've actually sat down and penciled everything out to say this is exactly what we would do. But I would think it would be safe to say that there will be some branch consolidation. We're hopeful that from the job perspective that through the next 6 months or so, through normal attrition, et cetera, that we're able to place as many people as possible. I think that, again, we haven't had the actual time to say this is exactly what's going to happen, but that will be what will take place over the next 30 to 60 days as we look at the organization, go through and make recommendations for what it will look like going forward.
And Dave, no apologizing to analysts.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Jeff Rulis with D.A. Davidson.
Question
on the a little follow up on the branch closures, I guess embedded in your cost savings number, the 2/3 of branch proximity. Could we angle in on a number of branch closures you anticipate that's embedded in your assumption?
Yeah, I think you could probably look at it. You might be able to do some math to come up with what would be an approximation, and that's pretty much where we're at.
The 2/3 is a good approximate?
Yeah, it's going to be – what I would tell you is it's going to be less than that, but it's going to be – that's a place to look at and say that's where we're going to start. There's a lot of – there's a
there's opportunity for us to look at where branches are across the street from each other. That's going to be relatively easy decision to make. And what we'll look at there is the economics of the branch, the lease, ownership, et cetera. The you know, as it starts moving away from that, we're going to look at what our long-term strategies are in each of the markets and make decisions according to that.
Okay.
And we also believe, Jeff, it's Greg, we also believe there's a there's synergistic opportunities in op centers and other properties as well. So it's and not just about the branch closures.
Yeah, and one of the things that I really want to stress, you know, not just to you, Jeff, but to everybody who's on the call, is that these synergies are going to be two-sided. It's not going to be that we're going to take, and if we have a Cascade branch and a Home branch, that we say, okay, well, we automatically close the Home branch. It's really going to be based on the best decision for the combined company, because this is really a combined organization. So the costs that are going to come out, the 24. One of the reasons why we decided to go down the path of the 24% combined expense reduction is because it is going to be a combined expense reduction. It's not going to be one-sided, and we are going to look at ways of taking the best talent on a go-forward basis, the best locations on a go-forward basis, and where it makes sense for us to be for all different reasons. So. It is going to be a very much of a combined effort. It's not going to be simply a one-sided move.
Question on the purchase price, how you arrived at that. You know, I think Greg said you viewed it as fair. I guess from the view of Home on the Banner transaction, it was, you know, 1/16 of tangible book. Home viewed that as fair, I guess, to the degree. How could you justify the price paid for Cascade and perhaps the difference in that fair outlook?
Yeah, I think one of the things that is important to recognize, and I don't know how many of you have covered a go shop deal before, but one of the things that I think is important to recognize is that the Home board decided that they did the transaction with the other bank. But they also included in there the go-shop provision, which allowed for any bank who wanted to come in and look at it at a reduced termination fee to come in and make a bid for the company. Home is a bank that, that is, as we have gone along, we have, pardon the expression, but we've coveted this this franchise for a little while because of the ability that it had to unlock the value that we had in our organization, and so it's one of the few combinations that I look at where when we look at the combined company, we say this really brings out all of the value that Cascade had had stored up in the past. And so from our standpoint, it was a relatively easy way to do it. And you know, we've had talks with Home, you know, on and off over the years, you know, everybody felt like it was a great combination, but you know, at the end of the day, when the banking crisis hit, you know, the focus was moved away from one of how you're going to grow the franchise to one of self-survival, and so we needed to. You know, one of the things that I always use, and I think this is probably an appropriate analogy, is when I get on an airplane, I always listen to the flight attendants who make their announcements, and one of the things they say is they say that, you know, the oxygen masks are going to come down from the roof, and you should, you know, always make sure that you take care of your own mask before you help others. And so one of the things we did was we took care of our own mask. We rebuilt the company. We got stabilized. We got capital, and we put ourselves in a position to do something. And now it's a chance for us to go out and say, how do we add to that? And so that's really where we're going with this transaction. It was a valuable transaction for us. I don't believe in the other deal that had been announced, I don't think it was quite as transformational as this is for us. And so as a result, we had one shot at it. We had one bite at the apple, and we took advantage of that opportunity. We knew pretty much what we thought it would do in unlocking value for the company and our ability to go forward and come out with a price that made sense for us and allowed us to go forward with a transformed company, I think is the whole reason we did what we did.
Okay, maybe one last one if I could. Just, I guess, is there any concern on the, I guess, loss of employees or customers given the two buyout offers in 1 month's time? I guess, are there any procedures in place to address any sort of morale or just kind of who is the parent company?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's always going to be those issues. I'm probably not sure that there's a big customer issue, because the banner offer and home offer, actually the deal had, they hadn't reached a point where customers were involved in integration and things were changing. And for the most part, in the agreement, it was announced that there was a go shop offer, so there was the opportunity to think something else may happen. As far as employee morale, I think that's always a concern. And anytime that you do a transaction, whether you do a transaction like this or you do the transaction that was announced before, there's anxiety on the part of employees. And I think, having gone through it myself over the past 40 years, I know that, you know, that type of anxiety exists in every type of transaction. And our goal is really to get out in front of it. Len and I are committed to make sure that our employees are knowledgeable about what's going on. We're going to be very transparent with them. And as soon as we know something, we're going to share it with them. So I believe that there's no way around having anxiety with employees, but there are ways that you can manage it so that that they know that you really care about them and the outcome of this. So we're going to work very diligently on that. Len and I have already put together plans on getting together, starting an integration talk, setting up websites and hotlines for employees to be able to call in with any concerns they may have. It's not just about whether or not you have a job. It's also stuff like, you know, what are my benefits going to be like and those type of things. So we have taken that into account and are very, very diligent in making sure that our employees both understand the transaction and understand what's going to happen and able to explain it as soon as we know it.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Tucker Golden at Solis Capital. I just had a question on competition and market share. I mean, with your share in Central Oregon getting up into the 20s and 30s, how confident are you with respect to regulatory approval?
We're very confident of regulatory approval. I mean, that we went into this knowing that that we would need to get regulatory approval to get the transaction done. Our regulators knew about the transaction before we ever went down the path. I don't think there's going to be anything that's going to cause us any hiccups along the way there. We know exactly what we need to do to get the transaction across the finish line, and things are in place to do it.
That's great. I mean, what do you view as the primary risk to the transaction? It seems as though the market isn't there yet. There's still sort of a 15% gap, and you're talking about closing it in the first quarter. Do you see any other risks that we should be aware of?
Other risks?
The transaction closing?
Yeah, I think the transaction is going to close. I don't know of any risks that are out there. I can't think of any, Tucker, that are going to cause us any anxiety.
Okay, great. Well, sounds like a good deal. Thanks. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Hello? Are there?
Oh, hi. Sorry, Dave Kim, Solis Capital. I was just thinking about savings, I guess, from the funding side. I know you talked about the cost synergies, but there seems to be a pretty wide delta between, Cascade's cost of funding and Homes. And wondering if there was either a target or an opportunity to close that gap. And similarly, just sort of on the revenue synergy side, it looks like over half of Homes' assets are in cash and securities. Their loan deposit ratio is pretty low. Is there sort of an idea of bringing that loan deposit sort of closer to where you guys are on a standalone basis?
Absolutely, Dave. That is while not represented by the synergies, those are the initiatives that we think are going to add meaningfully to our growth story. With respect to the cost of deposits. I mentioned that part of Home's legacy was some CDs that are paying off as we speak. They were issued back in the more challenging days, and that's going to give us an advantage. And number two, on the loan growth side, we have a strong ambition, and we've shown some real progress in the last 6 quarters with respect to our loan growth, our organic loan growth. Cascade this year has been growing at a 8% to 12% compounded rate on our loan book. We believe that with the higher lending limit, the synergies between the loan officer teams and the bigger scale, that we've got some great opportunities to do exactly what you were suggesting, migrate out of securities into higher yielding classes of assets.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to remind everybody on the line here, if you do have a question, press star and the number 6 and follow the prompts. That will put you in the queue for asking questions. We'll now take the next questioner.
Hi, this is Jackie Shimera with KBW.
Hey, Jackie.
I missed the beginning prepared remarks, so if I ask any questions that you've already covered, please just let me know and I can go back and read the transcript. I don't want to waste everyone's time. I wanted to look at some of the more nuanced accounting metrics, specifically the mark on the loan book, the $12.8 million. Does that include a mark on the covered portfolio as well?
No.
Okay. And how about any interest rate marks as well? Is that purely credit, or does it include the interest rate?
It includes the interest rate.
Okay. And was the interest rate mark, was that a higher mark or a lower mark? I guess did you write it up? I've seen both of them over the last couple of weeks, so I don't want to assume anything.
I believe it was a favorable mark.
Okay. And do you plan to mark any of the deposits?
Yes, it's about $2 million just on the just the interest rate.
Okay. CDs, I would guess.
Yeah. Yep. Again, I remind everybody these are preliminary today estimates. Things will change as we migrate toward closing.
And then kind of just more broadly speaking, I mean, this obviously produces a lot of synergy and then also expands you into some of the western markets of Oregon. How do you see your Oregon footprint shaping out over the next, call it, I don't know, 3 to 5 years?
I think that, Jack, this is Terry, I think that we we continue to look for ways to build the franchise out. One of the things that we believe in is, you know, community banking in markets. You know, Eugene is a good example of that. We want to be in markets where we can be a dominant market share player. And so we're going to continue to look for opportunities to grow both in Oregon and in Idaho to be in markets where we can be a key player in those markets. And so I would say that, you know, over the next 3 years or so, you should expect us to be looking at any opportunity that came up that would allow us to be in those markets.
Okay.
Jackie, just to be precise on the split between the loan markets, 6.9 in credit and 5.9 in interest.
Okay.
Assuming that helps.
Yes, it does very much. Thank you.
Hi guys, it's Sachin Shah again. Just want to confirm, so the Go Shop ended today, it's ending today?
Yes, it has.
Okay, as it ended, okay. The other question that I wanted to ask is, you know, the fact that you have in your presentation the $2.66, so that would essentially imply, you know, the stock Cascade that is trading about $3 higher. I know it's only day one, you know, because you announced it last night. You know, Cascade's trading off, you know, 5%, and I'm just trying to understand, is there something that we're missing, the market's missing, because, you know, $2.66 added to your, you know, $5.96 is, you know, more than 45% upside. So obviously that's when everything is all in. That is your best estimate of not only the synergies, but, you know, how much value creation is being had from this transaction. But I was just kind of curious to get your interpretation, further interpretation of not only, you know, of the synergy and the value creation, but, you know, why the stock should be trading lower in light of the fact that this is pretty accretive and value creating.
Yeah, I mean, that's, as you know, that's a pretty tough question to answer. I mean, if you if you could assure me what the stock market's going to do, then you and I should become best friends. But I don't know. I can't speculate really on how the market reacts to stuff. I think it's generally been pretty normal to have this type of reaction in the market until the transaction is fully understood.
Okay.
And so I really couldn't tell you. I mean, I just hate to speculate. I'm sorry.
Okay, but my thought process is correct. As far as what the market is doing is another thing, but my thought process is correct at least, and you know, hopefully the market comes around to that.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. That's a tough one because, again, you just never know. You know, I don't know how the market is always going to react, but I do think that eventually things will come around.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Next questioner.
Hello?
Yeah, I believe at this. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought we were all finished with questions at this time. I believe this is the last questioner. Again, if anybody else has any further questions, your command is star and the number 6 to be added to the queue. Go ahead, Lance.
Thank you. Hey, it's Lance Echo calling from Butchers Hill Capital. Congratulations on the deal and actually getting a bid on a go shop for a bank. It's actually a rather rare circumstance.
Yeah.
Just following up with one of the adjustments to the consideration revolves around transaction costs. And I know that there was a lower number on the Banner deal. You've got about an $18 million threshold or estimate right now. It's not quantified, I guess, in some of the disclosures. What are the biggest items there, and do you feel confident that it's going to be around $18 million? Or, because that's a step up from what you had initially estimated under the Banner deal.
Mainly the elements that changed that were we've included the nearly $3 million breakup fee that was paid Banner, and the because our offer had a stronger stock price, the change of controls added some value, and third the banker fees and associated things were higher because of the higher consideration.
Okay. I guess the changing controls are a pretty big number as they were in the other case. And are you feeling pretty good about that estimate, that $18 million estimate?
Yeah, we're feeling really good.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right.
At this time, I do not have any more questions for you. So, gentlemen, if you'd like to wrap up, feel free.
Great. Well, thanks everybody for taking the time out to listen to our story. I think it's a good story, and I can tell you that I've looked forward and read the end of the book, and it has a happy ending. So I think this is going to be a great transaction for everybody involved. And thank you for taking the time to hear us. Bye.
Goodbye.